That's good right there. Isaiah 40:31 right there. Mount up on eagle's wings. Amen. That was good. And I like that, by the way. Brother, you've seen this before where the pianist watches the ushers, and as soon as they get to the back, they quit playing. No, play the whole song. It's a special music. It's a blessing. There's more to it than that. Amen. I like that. Appreciate that. And play the whole song. It's a blessing, and you get to contemplate and meditate and worship during that. And we need a special right now. We don't have, Sam, you got a special? No. We don't have a special tonight. So we'll come back tomorrow night. We have specials, all right? We'll have that lined up for tomorrow evening. You, Brother Gene, you just volunteered? Oh, okay. Now you're getting me in trouble right there. Oh, your wife does, you said. All right. Well, did y'all enjoy the message this morning? I like to hear Brother Jack Tripp preach. He always, you can tell he studies, and he always gets a good thought and brings it out. And that was good this morning, the three places where the word Christian is used. I like that. And a good message this morning, by the way. If you miss something, which I know you won't, you'll be here. But if you ever miss one, they're on Facebook, you're on live stream. You know, I told you that, right? That's why you behaved this morning, right? You're on live stream. So, but no, you can go back and watch those old services, right? You can go back and do that. But anyway, if you missed that one this morning, it'd be worth going back to see or listen to it again. But let's pray in your own heart. Ask God to speak to your heart. The altar, as I said, is always open. We will have an altar call here in a little while after he gets done preaching, but feel free to use the altar anytime and just give it to the Lord. Amen. So, Brother Tripp, you come on tonight. Let's again welcome Brother Tripp to Liberty Baptist Church. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. It is a joy to be back with you tonight. We appreciate all of you being in the service this evening. And a good number have come back for the evening service, and we're sure happy to see you here. And I hope the Lord will bless you and meet every need in your heart. The preacher's right. He took us to a good place to eat today. And I tell you, all I know to say is I enjoyed what little I eat. I'm teasing. I'm really teasing. But we did. We had a wonderful lunch and a good time of fellowship together. And I'm telling you, they had some good collard greens down there today. Y'all like collard greens? Stewed cabbage, and man, just all kind of stuff. Fish, fried chicken. Whew. Huh? Oh, yeah, they had that too. I didn't have a room on my plate to put any of that on there, though. But anyway, great time. And I sure appreciate it, enjoyed it so much. I want you to take your Bibles with us tonight, if you will. And again, I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages of Scripture. Well, I've whittled it down to two tonight. But I want you to look with me in Exodus chapter number 16, and then we'd like to read a couple verses in John chapter 6. Exodus chapter number 16. And in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. In Exodus chapter 16, and beginning in verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And then look down, if you would, in verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, Lord, we ask you to help us tonight. God, we pray again that you would speak through these lips of clay to the hearts of your people. Lord, we realize that we need you. We ask you to help us, speak through us. I pray you'd draw us up a little closer to you, that when we leave here tonight, we might leave closer than we were when we came. If there's a soul in our midst that doesn't know the Lord, I pray that somehow by God's amazing grace that they'll find a place at the foot of the cross before they leave this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to preach a little bit tonight on Jesus being the true manna. He said your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. But he said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. And if a man will eat of me, he will never die. There's a lot of types and symbols throughout the scripture that represent the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of John alone, all those I am scriptures really depict him in so many different ways. He said in one place, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Another place he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And in another place he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I always like that song sometimes the children sing, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside, on which side are you? There's one thing you can say about a door, you can't be on both sides at the same time. You're either inside or outside tonight, and I hope you're inside, that you know him. But when you look at the manna that God sent to Israel in the Old Testament, it so much typifies the Lord Jesus as being the living bread. And I just want to show you some ways tonight that I believe that this manna draws our attention to him. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And so I hope the Lord will help us tonight. That certainly is our desire. When you go back with me, if you will, and look in Exodus chapter 16 again, And I want to say that this manna that the Lord rained down for Israel out of heaven here in the Old Testament in their wilderness journey, I believe that it speaks to us of Jesus, the living bread, and represents Him. When you think about the strangeness of this bread, there was something strange about it. Exodus 16 and verse 15, when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. You see, the word manna means, what is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? And when the children of Israel saw this lying on the ground in the wilderness, they said to each other, "What is it?" And so that's why they called it manna. What is it? It was strange. They did not comprehend it. They couldn't understand it. And they did not recognize it for what it was. And so it was when Jesus came. You know, there was something strange to this world about Him. And the world did not really recognize Him for who He was. You know, you think about Jesus when He came into this world, how strange He came. As we mentioned this morning, He came through a virgin's womb into this world. Is it not hard to comprehend that the Son of God created the womb from which He was born? And when He was only 12 years old, He sat in the temple in the midst of the doctors and lawyers, and they were amazed and astounded at His wisdom, so much beyond His years. And they said, "Where did He learn all this? Where did He get His education?" They didn't realize they were looking at the one who was greater than Solomon himself. The Bible said that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They couldn't comprehend Him. This God-man, 100% God and 100% man at the same time. No wonder when they sent the officers to arrest Him, and they came back without Him, and they said, "Why didn't you arrest Him?" And they said, "No man ever spoke like this man spoke. We've never seen anybody like this." They may not have looked at Him and said, "What is it?" But they certainly said, "Who is it?" Jesus asked His own disciples that question one day. Remember, He said to them, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist." You know, John was a very special man, because when John came on the scene, and he came on the scene just a little bit prior to Jesus, because he came to introduce Jesus to the nation of Israel. But when John began preaching in the wilderness, they sent a delegation out from Jerusalem to question John. And they asked him if he was the one. And John said, "Oh no, I'm not him." He said, "There comes one after me that's mightier." And he said, "I'm not worthy to tie his shoes." So when John came on the scene, they thought he was Jesus. And when Jesus came on the scene, they thought he was John. But when the children of Israel saw this manna in the wilderness, they said, "What is it?" It was strange. Why was it so strange? For one thing, it was strange because of the direction that it came from. This bread literally was rained down by God out of heaven. we don't normally associate bread as coming from heaven. When we think about bread, or at least as I think about bread, it reminds me of the ground, the earth, because, you know, we grow wheat out of the ground. And you grind the wheat to get flour to make bread. Or if you want cornbread, you get corn you grow in the ground and grind the corn and you get cornmeal. But this bread did not originate on this earth. It came down from heaven. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. This bread came down to us. You know, salvation always originates in heaven. Its beginning is always heavenly. Remember in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, when some men got together and they decided they were going to build a tower that reached to heaven. Remember that? And the Lord came down and confounded their language so they couldn't understand each other. And they had to cancel out their project before they could complete it. Because you can't build anything down here that will allow you to work your way toward God. Salvation begins in heaven with God, and He comes from there and comes down toward us where we are. Amen. Kind of like that song, when I could not come to where He was, He came to me.
Well, praise the Lord.
Sorry about that. We'll pause one moment for technical difficulties. Please stand by. Begins in heaven. You think about it tonight. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top down to the bottom. Began up there and works toward us. God coming down to man. So it was strange bread. It did not originate on earth. It originated in heaven. But then it not only was strange because it came from heaven, but this bread was strange because of the description that was given to it. The Bible said it was a small, round thing. And anything that's round represents eternity. Because when it's round, there's no ending to it. It just keeps on going, round and round and round. And so it speaks of the eternalness of Christ. He had no beginning and no ending. Or has no beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes as far as God goes. Had a fellow tell me one time, he said, if you can tell me where God come from, I might believe in Him. I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, if I could tell you where God came from, you'd want to know where the something come from that God come from. And then if you knew that, you'd want to know where the something from come from that the something come from that God come from. I said, you would never be satisfied. I said, let me put it to you like this. I said, just let your mind run as far backwards as you can go into eternity past. And when you get your mind so far back there that the smoke starts coming out your ears, you'll bump into God. And then let your mind run as far into eternity future as you can possibly go into the future. And when you get as far out yonder you can get, you'll bump into God again. He has no beginning and no ending. He's eternal. Now, not only was it round, but the Bible says that it was like coriander seed. Now that really stumped me for some time, I'll be honest with you. For one thing, I read that passage through the years and never paid much attention to it for a long time. And then one day I stopped when I read it and I said, what is coriander? I didn't even know what a coriander was. One day I was visiting one of my boys and walking around in the kitchen, and my daughter-in-law had a spice rack on the kitchen counter. And I just kind of, for some reason, was looking at it, and I saw a little bottle of coriander seed in that spice rack. And I said, so that's what a coriander is. Well, I took the top off and dumped a few of them in my hand, and I ended up looking at that little coriander seed. And you know, I was so amazed, because you take that little coriander seed, it's really small, and it's round, but it's got little furrows in its outer shell all the way around it. Even furrows. Matter of fact, if you ever come up the highway and maybe in some hilly country and just looked at a field that had just been plowed and they had just made the rows ready to plant, and you see those even furrows running up over the horizon, and it just looks like little furrows all the way around that little seed. And then it kind of hit me. Psalm 129, verse 2. A prophecy concerning the sufferings of Jesus. The Bible said, the plowers plowed furrows upon his back. You remember before Jesus was put on the cross, they took him and beat him with a cat of nine tails. And when they got done with him, his back was like a new plowed field. And God had little furrows put around that little seed. And he said the manna was like coriander seed. When they picked up that manna was grooved and furrowed, representing the suffering of the bread of life that would come and give his self for you and I on the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you something. That's strange bread. No wonder they looked at it and said, what is it? Just like people look at Jesus today and say, we don't understand him. No. They don't comprehend him. But let me move on. Not only was the bread like Jesus in the strangeness of it, but it was like Jesus in the sending of it. The Bible tells us that this bread in the wilderness was sent in response to the sins of the people. The Lord did not send this bread to Israel because of something good that they had been doing. It wasn't like he looked down on them one day and said, I'll tell you right now, ain't they some good young'uns? I tell you, I'm so proud of them. I think I'll just rain them down some bread from heaven. No, the Bible says, God speaking, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel That's what he said right there in chapter 16. He said, I have heard the murmurings. They were murmuring, complaining, and in their hearts they were rebellious against God. And they were grumbling toward God. And in response to that, God opened up heaven and rained bread down. Now, do you know why God sent His Son the living bread? Was it because we were good? Oh, no. It's because we were wretched sinners and we needed a Savior. And God opened up heaven and sent His Son the living bread for me and you. God did not send this manna in response to something good they did. God sent the manna in response to their sin. And God didn't send Jesus into this world because He looked down here and thought we were good. No, God sent Him because He knew we needed Him, that we needed a Savior, that we needed our sins redeemed. We needed to be redeemed. We need a price to be paid for our sins, that we were lost and undone without God, and that we must have a Savior. And God in His mercy opened up heaven and sent His Son to us. I'm trying to tell you, God did not send us Jesus because we were good. He sent Jesus because He is good. God does not save us because we are good. He saves us because He is good and merciful. And so this bread was like Jesus, not only because it was strange, but in the way it was sent. It was not deserved. We did not deserve it. We didn't deserve Jesus. But He came anyway. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then let me give you this. The manna was like Jesus in the strangeness of it, in the way it was sent. But it was also like Jesus in the sweetness of it. The Bible says that this manna tastes like wafers made with honey. Wafers. Tastes like wafers made with honey. Now, I wonder why that the Lord gave them bread that tastes like honey. Do you reckon it might be because He was leading them to a land that flowed with milk and honey? And maybe He was giving them a little taste of what He had waiting in store. You know, I believe the Lord does that for us. You ever been in a service when the Lord just seemed especially real to your heart? You ever been in one of them meetings when you just felt like the Lord was just squeezing your old heart? And I mean, God was just touching your heart. And I mean, the juice was running out your eyeballs. And the Lord just seems so real to you. Reminds me of that old song. I don't even remember the name of it, but one of the stanzas in it says, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Every once in a while, the Lord can just give you a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. What it's going to be like to be home with Him. You know what heaven is really going to be? It's going to be an eternal worship service. An eternal day. There's only going to be one day in heaven. I'm not talking about a 24-hour day like we keep today, because we're not going to live in time in heaven. We're going to live in eternity in heaven. But there's going to be no night there, remember? There's going to be no night there. We're all going to wind up going the same day. You realize that? Because there ain't but one day in heaven. There ain't no night there. It's going to be an eternal day. And what are we going to do there? We're going to worship Him and serve Him. It's going to be a worship service. If you've got the idea that you're going to heaven so you can sit down on the riverbank and just twiddle your toes in the water, you got the wrong idea of what heaven's going to be like. It's not going to be about me, and it ain't going to be about you. Heaven is going to be about Him. And we're going to worship Him. And we're going to cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and honor and glory and riches." Amen. I've talked to people that assured me they were looking forward to going to heaven, and you could not get them to darken a church door to save your life. Pray tell me, why would somebody want to go to an eternal worship service and they can't even give the Lord an hour down here? I didn't mean to kill the meeting. Huh? Why would somebody that doesn't like church want to go to heaven and be in a worship service for all eternity? Anyway, what's that got to do with manna being sweet? It tastes like wafers made with honey. There is a sweetness about Jesus. You know, the world feels so sorry for us Christians. Oh, they just ache for us because they feel like we've ruined our life. The Lord called me to preach when I was 16 years old. And believe me, when some of the guys I went to school with, and I was in a public high school, and when some of the guys that I went to school with found out I was preaching, boy, they really give me a time. One day, one of the guys said to me, he said, "Hey, Jack, what's this I hear about you?" I said, "I don't know. What did you hear?" He said, "I heard you were preaching." I said, "Yep." I said, "God called me to preach." He said, "Man, you got to be kidding." He said, here's what he asked me. He said, "When are you going to live?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When are you going to have a good time?" He said, you're just 16 years old and you're preaching? You're wasting your life preaching? You could be out having fun, man." I said, "I'm having the time of my life." He thought there couldn't possibly be any joy in serving the Lord. And a lot of people feel that way. But I'm telling you, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. There is sweetness in Him. All right, then let me give you this. Not only was this manna strange, it came in response to their sin. It was sweet. Tastes like honey. But then it was like the Lord in the situation of it. Now I'll just use this little tissue as an illustration. It's not a good one, but just for right now, all right? Let's just let that represent that manna that fell. You'll notice that the Bible said it fell on the ground. On the dew. It lay on the dew on the ground. it's obvious that it was within the reach of everybody. The Lord put it in a place that anybody could get it. He didn't put it up in the top of a tree, or even like the brazen serpent, he didn't put it up on a pole. But the manna, he put down at their feet. The one thing you had to be willing to do to get the bread was you had to be willing. You had to be willing to bow. You had to be willing to bend. We live in a world where people want the Lord to bend. They want God to change. I got news for you. You're going to be waiting a long time. Because He said, I am the Lord that changes not. But I tell you, the ones that need to bend and the ones that need to bow are you and I. You had to be willing to humble yourself. You had to be willing to bend before God, bow before Him to get that bread. I've had people say things like, don't preach to me. Leave me alone. I'll live my life the way I want to live it. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. I'll do as I please, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, you can live that way if you want to. But here's the thing. If you want to get the bread, you're going to have to bend. A wise man said this one time, and I'm just about done. Just give me a moment. A wise man said this. He said, you can divide the whole human race into two groups of people. There are those who look at God and they say, Lord, not my will, thine be done. And the other group looks at God and they say, not thy will, my will be done. And he said, in the great day of judgment, the Lord will look at that latter group as He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He said he really believed that the Lord will say to them, not my will, thine be done. You see, God will not force you to bend. He will not force you to bow. But you will eventually wish you had. You will wish you had. It's so simple. I'm the living bread. If a man eat of me, he'll never die. I heard a preacher say this, and I'm done. He said, being saved's not complicated. He said, if you can eat bread, you can get saved. Think about it. It's just that simple. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we're so grateful to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for Jesus being that living bread sent down from heaven. Oh, Lord, the only bread that can satisfy a living soul. God, I thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's even one soul in our midst that has never humbled themselves before the Lord, never bowed before you, trusted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray they'll do that before they leave here tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Draw us all closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with us tonight? Everyone standing. While our sister's playing, if God speaks to you, please come. Let the Lord help you. Why not bow before Him tonight? Find a place in His presence. Let Him meet your need tonight. Don't ever be too proud to bow your knee in His presence. Remember, He's God. He's God Almighty. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, but he that exalteth himself shall be abased. Why not bow in His presence? Bow before Him. The Bible said at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
Some are on the altar. Pray right where you are. If you want to come, get on this altar and just make it a special time on your knees before the Lord, bowing before the Lord, kneeling before the Lord. He reached down for us, but He offered salvation, and we do. We just have to bow our hearts before Him and receive it and take it. And maybe tonight God works in your heart somehow. God speaks to your heart somehow. Be responsive, be receptive to what He gives you tonight. Ask Him to touch your heart. Let Him touch your heart. The sweet Lord Jesus wants a relationship with all of us. God wants a relationship with us. He gave us His Son to make that possible, sent down from heaven. We're just receiving. By faith, receive Him. They literally picked that up. But we, by faith, receive Christ. Enter into that sweet fellowship, that relationship with God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the manna sent from heaven, the bread of life. What a beautiful picture it is from the Old Testament to the New. God knew way back then the picture and the type that He was setting up. You can look this way tonight. Wasn't that a beautiful thought? I tell you, when the Lord sent that down, the Lord knew He was going to one day, it'd be recorded in John 6, that He would say, hey, I am that bread sent down. God knew it all the way back then, the way He designed the coriander to look like and be like the coriander seed. God had it all planned out before the foundations of the world. Amen? And the fact that they would reach down and pick it up, and that we one day by faith would reach out and receive Him. The bread of life. God already knew it. Amen. Before the foundations of the world, that was settled. Amen. And he knew you'd be here tonight, too, hearing the Word of God preached. I hope that's been a help to you today and a blessing to you here today. It has to me. Amen. It's